estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 587. I'm Adam, and sorry we've been late. That's not one of the quotes from the show, but I had so much on over the last 6 weeks, and still have to a certain extent, and that's why we haven't been on for a while. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Yes, you are quite the mess of chemicals, aren't you?
Yes. Mary Lang.
I need clever. Skeptical. I don't need mopey.
Okay, well, I try my best, but it's a natural state I live in. Yes. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Go to hell.
Yes.
There you said it. Coming out of your shell, are you, Kirby?
So, so we've got stuff coming through on the live feed on Facebook, and that is Lillian saying hi. Terry Marr saying hi, Lillian. He's trying to get in on Neil's act. Neil then says, hi, hello everyone, great to have you back. Neil says, hi Lillian, oh god. And Lillian says, hi Neil.
Hooray!
There they go again, you guys. Get a room.
And then I got a dirty look off Deb because the door was open. She doesn't want to listen to the show. Right there, I'll just shut the door. So this week we're going to be looking at some episodes of Doctor Who, of the names. I did actually make a note of the titles. Because I haven't even really got... Oh, yeah, and Dark Water, Death and Heaven. It actually says at the top of the video feed. I have a proposition to make to you guys before we get on with the very, very quick synopsis of this two-part story. That it dawned on me the other day that Skype's crap.
Yeah.
I've been using it for God knows how many years now. But essentially, Microsoft bought it and didn't do anything with it. And then they bought a thing called Microsoft Teams, which works a hell of a lot better. So
maybe
I'm thinking...
something else.
I just said...
Let him finish.
Microsoft Teams. The good thing about Microsoft Teams is not only can you do your multiple screening, or whatever you call it, but you can also record the screen. We can go back on video, we can record the screen and post it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group,
all of us,
which you can join.
Podcast.
Yes, you have to put makeup on, Deb.
And, that means I have to dress for it. And
yeah.
Makeup on it.
Don't worry, Mary. Me too. I might even have to tidy the room. But I just feel as if it would be sort of in the modern age a better way of doing it.
I know you and Kirby are like, oh, yeah, let's do it. And Deb and I are like, oh, no.
Well, essentially, if things are progressing the way they are, you could have your own like AI version of yourself. That could do, you talk and it does the little mouth movements and you could look like anybody.
That's actually pretty cool. You could be different.
Yeah.
But it's not here yet, but it's on its way. Right. So last few weeks I've had all stuff going on. We've been filming. My mum's house is now almost on sale. Moving stuff out of my mum's house. I felt a bit poorly today because... I've been off the medication I was on when I had a bad back, and it sort of interfered with my, you know, and it's made me feel a bit yucky. And so all in all, it's been not conducive for the world of podcasting. We have also had stuff going on behind the scenes with Fantasy Con, but we'll talk about that later. And
Are we allowed to mention this in the show, though, that Fantasy Con got... nominated for
an
award.
But I know what the people who follow this particular group and the show can't be bothered to send feedback in, so the chances of them actually pulling their fingers out and voting for us just because they're not on the Isle of Wight is extremely slim. However, I did put an appeal out and I will be continuing to appeal. We need as many votes as we can, because what will happen is Walk the White will probably win it anyway, but Heroes will win it because they've got a larger and more focused field of fans. So I just feel that if our listeners and followers on this particular group just did one little vote, the link is at the top of the page, by the way, the Red Funnel Isle of Wight Awards, and we're in the category of best event. So it'd be nice to, you know, get enough votes to potentially... go to a night out and stuff. I don't know.
It's quite a nice night out, definitely.
Oh, you've been on it, have you?
Yeah, something similar to that with the business that I worked for.
Yeah, cool. Well,
but
that's,
we were stuffed in the corner.
That's what me and Deb are aiming for. We'd like to be included in a potential night out and get into the smaller category of nominees. Okay, so we're going to whiz through Death in Heaven. Oh, the sound's up. I do apologise. I thought I turned that off. Are we on the right thing? Yeah, we are. Right, so it begins with... Hang on, that's the wrong episode. Sorry. Sorry, that's the wrong episode. How did that happen? I didn't select that one. I selected the one before it. I selected Dark Water and it played Death in Heaven. Oh, Dark Water. Which begins with, well, basically Danny getting knocked over by a car while Clara's trying to tell him that she loves him.
He's getting better.
Yeah, did. Yeah. And, of course, we know what happens to everybody that's been dying in this series. They've gone up to meet Missy. But, yeah, I remember at the time thinking, you really do need to look where you're going, Danny, and when we first watched this episode before we knew what was going to happen.
I think we were quite critical of that the first time round. It's like, look where you're going, for God's sake.
And meanwhile, the Doctor is parked to the end of this really weird cliff. And we see the woman from Benidorm, you know, the granny, who was also in Vengeance on Varos as Clara's nan. Nice little scene there. Unfortunately, still can't get her to come to FantasyCon, even though she's doing the old convention here and there now. And that's the title sequence. And yeah, then there's another little scene of the TARDIS on this cliff, and the Doctor is having a snooze on the edge of this cliff. And then we had another flashback to Clara walking into the TARDIS and nicking a load of keys. And she's not very happy. Can anybody think why she's not very happy? Anyway, so to cut a long story short, she tries to bribe the Doctor into bringing Danny back to life by throwing the TARDIS keys into a volcano sort of thing.
Molten lava. Yeah.
Yeah. Doctor's not doing it. Did someone say something?
Yes.
Kirby dead.
Why does he need a key? He could just snap his fingers.
Yeah, I mean, I wondered that too. I mean, even though this is like a fantasy thing, it's not for real. I still questioned, you know, but the Doctor's biometrically attached to the TARDIS, so it doesn't matter that he has his key.
Essentially not, but I think where this is... I'd also think it. We wouldn't just have seven keys. I think that was just something... I was thinking at the time, he's probably just told her that he's got a key in his pocket and his shoe or something like that.
Yeah, plus isn't there another key behind
the top police. Above the... Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter because it was a dream. And a dream particularly well acted by both performers. The Doctor brings them back to real life and he forgives her in a sort of in a roundabout way because she's upset, even though she's sort of really, she really did betray him. I said portray him. That was almost a good faux pas, wasn't it? anyway, meanwhile, we cut back to Danny, who's now in the office of Missy's little sidekick because he's deaded. And he's sort of been interviewed. And there's a mention of, you could be cremated. And he sort of thinks so. Yeah. And of course... there's a sort of passing reference to, obviously, the cremated bodies are no good to the Cybermen, but that's not mentioned at this particular stage. There's a little logo on the screen as well. You know, it's a little Cyberman eye. Did anybody realise?
I love that.
Yeah, it's good, but did anybody realise it at the time when it was first on the screen? Before we, you know, when we first watched this, before we realised there was a cyber element, did anybody pick it up?
No.
No.
I remember, but this time I did.
And it was all you.
Yeah. Anyway, so we talked a few weeks ago, quite a long time ago now, bearing in mind the last podcast was a few weeks ago, about the somebody said that the psychic circuits and the TARDIS console were only used once back in an episode. And we said, I'm pretty sure they was used again, and here they are being used again. So
yes.
I'm glad this I was proven to be correct for that. I did actually find my bell in the hiatus. But unfortunately...
Oh, I've got my bell as well downstairs.
Unfortunately, the bell has disappeared again in between being found and then not found in the hiatus, so I can't bell it up at the moment. But anyway, I do get deserve a bell. The Doctor and Clara arrive where Danny is, because that's what the psychic circuits are supposed to be doing, and there's lots of fish tanks with skeletons or decomposing bodies sat in thrones, because it's not really seats, are they? They really are like
a bit
thrones.
Damien Hirst, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor finds this QB thing, which then sort of tells a little story about what they are, and then Missy turns up pretending to be a interface. And then she smugs the Doctor's face, which I think is hilarious.
I'm trying to remember. I don't have the script in front of me, but doesn't she say something which makes you think that she is a different character with the name of the interface?
Oh, yes, she does, yes. I can't remember what it was, though, Kirby.
I'll find it.
No, you don't have to, honestly. It's
yes,
fine.
Yes,
no,
yes,
you
I
don't.
Will.
No, you don't.
He has to. There's not. You can't just say, well, you could do it later. Has to happen.
I could say
now.
That, but and hope. You never know. Anyway, so when Missy's kissing the Doctor, which is, like, as I said, hilarious. By the way, the Doctor's hairstyle does change quite a lot during this episode, probably more than it did in the Flatline episode. But anyway, the other way, she just kisses him on the nose. At the end of the smooch.
I remember back when we first covered this story, finding out that a lot of things that Michelle Gomez did, like that surprise kiss of the Doctor, are just things that she just spontaneously comes up with.
Yeah, she's great.
The director, Rachel Talele, just, you know, kind of went along with
them. She got the character straight away, didn't she?
If you put Michelle Gomez, you just let her go, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. What I loved about it, and the freeze frame I've got of Missy kissing the Doctor's nose, in the background is Jenna Coleman just looking away in a sort of, oh my God, I really don't want to be here. His face, absolutely brilliant.
Embarrassing, totally embarrassing.
And then, of course,
when I try to kiss Tom, and my daughter goes,
she doesn't say get a room then.
I missed a good quote that I should
You
have
did?
Used.
Go on then. Go for your good quote then. This will be a first. Hang on. Where's my bell? Oh, it's gone again. I'm sure
it's Dr. Chang!
We'll find it. I mean, this is my special bell. Didn't Laurie get me this bell? The yellow one. Sure. Laurie, are you still listening to the podcast next? Oh, here it is! Here it is!
Yay!
Alright, this is for myself earlier on. Is it still working, probably?
Oh, well done. Congratulations.
Go on in, Kirby.
Well, I said it. Dr. Chang!
Okay, go on. It's still got... I think there's something wrong with my bell. It's not dinging properly.
Dr. Chang!
So it might have bits on it or something.
Hang on, what the hell? Maybe the spring's gone on it.
Well, do you want me to bring my one round?
No, I do not. I want this one fixed. This is the Laurie Nix bell. I think someone's trodden on it. It's just gone a bit bent.
Oh, no.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Where did I get up to?
He's back and you're going to be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Chang turns up just so he can get killed by Missy in a sort of Missy sort of way.
Chang!
Then Danny sort of comes out and has a look over the countryside and gets further interviewed by
my house from here.
Yeah, that's a good line.
And then basically he gets a flashback to when he killed a family in wartime, and including a little child, and then a little child's asked to see him just so as he can gloat. I don't know why he's seen him anyway. And then, like I say, a bit further on, Dr. Chang.
Sorry, that reminds me of Blackadder when anybody ever says the word gloat. Can I come in for a gloat?
By the way, Gabrielle Geister was in Blackadder, and she came to FantasyCon last year. That's about it, really. Right then, where do we? Oh, yeah, I think Christopher Ryan was in this episode as well at some point, and he came to the first one. Anyway, moving forward. Yeah, so the interview between Danny and the child he killed didn't go particularly well because the child ran off. The Doctor and Clara with Dr. Chang.
And they use iPads in heaven.
Yeah, found a way of getting
Apple
in touch with
everywhere.
Danny.
Apple gets everywhere.
But it might be because so this is like in the mind in certain extents. So it's just how the people at the time, the viewers would. It's like that's how I try and sort of cover the retro things from the future that are depicted in the past. So it's just the way the mind sort of interprets these things. So does that work for me? Yes.
Fair enough.
I almost bought an iPad 2 days ago.
You said this.
No, well, to you, not to them.
No. Notice the word almost. Right, then where do we get up to? Oh, yeah, so there's a command down, and the water starts draining out of these fishing tanks. The doctor leaves Clara to do some work while all these skeletons switch a switch, and as they drain away, because this is like this water actually just is disguising what they actually are. Cybermen appear while Missy kills Chang, and Doctor's a bit bewildered by all this. But then he realizes, when she kills Dr. Chang, and she's sort of threatening to kill the doctor, and he can't get out. They get out. And they're in the St. Paul's Cathedral's steps, which is obviously iconic.
Which remember unfortunately have been reconfigured since we first saw Cybermen go down those steps a long time before.
If you say so. Clara at this time is trying to talk to Danny. And the signal's not good. It's obviously Elon Musk's attempt at doing 5G. And out come the Cybermen, and the doctor's panicking, trying because the Cybermen are coming out of St. Paul's, are trying to get everybody to disappear, but they're not really that interested. They just want to get their camera phones out and take pictures of everything, which is 20 years ago, and it's still happening now, which I thought was quite
interesting. God, yes.
And of course, Missy's being.
This is only 10 years ago. Why did you say 20 years?
I said 10. Yes.
Yeah, he didn't say 20 years ago. Yeah. 20 years ago, we were still innocent people with about 5 different things in our pockets.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Missy's being particularly smug at this point, and as the Cybermen march away from St. Paul's, and that's essentially the end of the episode. Oh, so pleased we got through that quite quickly. So the next one is Death in Heaven. And this one is the episode that Debbie hates the most. This is one where a Cyberman has found Clara hiding, and she said, "You can't kill me because I'm the Doctor." And
I do like her being the Doctor.
She's pretending to be the Doctor to get herself out of an awkward situation.
I think she does a very good job.
Yeah, but did you not notice in the title sequence it's her eyes that come up towards the screen?
Yes.
Oh, it's gone very
this
quiet.
Is the episode where Clara took over properly and it became the Clara Show.
That's right.
Right.
It was okay for this one.
All right.
Hang on.
What I asked was, and you lot just talked over it, was in the title sequence.
Yes.
Did you notice it was Clara's eyes and not the Doctor's?
Yes. I pointed it out last time. Yes.
No, I did not.
Anyway. No, I will confess, I did not notice. No.
Okay. Do you want to go back and rewatch it, Mary?
I guess I'll have to.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I hope to never have to watch this pair again.
Be quiet.
I tell you what, I will say a good thing about this two-hander is Missy is just outstanding.
Yeah, there's loads of good stuff about it. The performances
are
great.
I totally agree with you.
Missy's great. There's a lot of twists that are quite good. Some are bad, some are quite good. The twist that was good is actually in this scene, because everybody's going around having selfies with the Cybermen while Missy's still being smug and asking people to put money in her hat for a chance to have a picture with the Cybermen. And when Kate rocks up, and sorry, it's Osgood rocks up initially, and then Kate, they all turn out to be unit staff. And which was actually a nice little twist for an earlier part of the episode. Yes. Oh, somebody's just agreeing with me, were they?
He's getting distracted with his buttons.
I did like it when the roof of St. Paul's sort of fanned out, which I thought was quite cool.
Master?
Oh, no.
may I point out, you know how Missy's kind of dressed like Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes, carry on, yes.
This
Oh. What's happened?
Sits feeding the birds at Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Was it just me you completely went quiet for about 2 seconds then? Or was it just...
No.
It was you. We were just sat here listening to you.
Oh, well, maybe that'll come out on the audio.
Did you hear what I said?
Probably.
About Mary Poppins and it being where they feed the birds.
Oh, I heard that bit, but there was a gap between him saying it and actually hearing it, which is a bit weird. Have we got a delay between here and Kirby Land? Ooh, seems right. Ooh, that's a weird. Anyway, where do we go?
Wish we'd have some semblance of it. That would have been nice.
Well, I was talking to my cousin in New Zealand the other day, and the delay was shorter than that. Anyway, so the doctor doesn't seem to be very happy with Kate. That Missy has been sort of seized by her guards, and there's a load of stuff happening by the roof of St. Paul's. There's an explosion, and I think that explosion at the top of the roof is like some sort of portal that then covers the whole earth in a big cloud. Danny's just currently with weirdo bloke.
By this point, this episode starts going downhill very quickly.
Be quiet. The doctor gets incapacitated and whispers something into Osgood's ear. I can't remember what it was now. Oh, well, never mind. And this point that we find that the dead bodies on Earth that haven't been cremated can now turn into Cybermen, and
yes, I hate that.
Yeah, which is really weird, because up until now it always had to be living people.
Yes, because they had to accept the
how did they make the cyber...
Why is everybody going quiet? It's very strange.
It drives me crazy.
How weird. This never
happened. I do like the portrait of the brig.
Yes, that was the bit I was going to come up with next. That was very nice. The brig portrait, yes, and the references to saluting and stuff like that was around. The doctor, of course, has... Oh, some really.
How come you keep disappearing?
You keep disappearing.
Whatever you said for the past 10 seconds, we don't know what you said.
No, but you keep
disappearing.
Whoa! You keep disappearing too. This is very strange.
Facebook and your mouth is moving, but nothing is coming out.
No, if you let me speak, you keep disappearing. This is very strange.
No, you do.
Oh, shut up. I think it's Skype. We're going to have to move on to Teams. I've had enough of Skype. It's rubbish. I do conference calls on Skype. We never have this issue. Not Skype. Teams. Can I go back to Doctor Who? I was on the screen and you distracted me and I've lost my video screen. There it is. All right, so Clara is still pretending to be the doctor just to bamboozle the Cybermen. We were not overly convinced. Skype. What was that?
You keep going, Adam. You keep going.
It's Skype.
Seriously.
It's Skype.
Not hearing a
that's
word
the Skype noise. Be quiet. The Skype noise. It keeps on hanging me up and putting me back on again. How weird.
Well, we're okay.
Well, don't let it do that.
I can't. It's just doing it.
Give it a smack.
You tell it off in very strict terms.
Well, if I can get through this episode, and where's it gone? I reckon it's because I've got the video. Hang on, I know what it is. Because when I click, I'm watching the video on Safari.
You keep pressing play and it keeps...
No. I'm explaining it. I'm watching the video on Safari, every time I switch to it, I feel like it's hanging up Skype, which is... Oh, that's a separate app, isn't it? Engaging podcasting this it is. Oh, God. Which means I'm going to have to... Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't know.
I don't know. That's why we're asking you.
Just saying that the Cybermen aren't convinced with Clara's being the doctor. Missy is... sort of being held on the spaceship. The TARDIS is there, Osgood is there, Kate's there, but and I'm going to cut a long story short. She gets free. She kills Osgood. Not sure which Osgood it is though.
I don't think we ever find out which.
No, I don't think we ever find out which one.
And the Doctor is President of Earth, much against his desire.
And is he also still President of Gallifrey?
Presumably.
I'm not 100% sure on that one. But I will say, Clara ends up in a graveyard, which is a bit of a dangerous place to be at the moment. And then after all the Cybermen start getting out, well, they get rained down, don't they? And then they come out of the graves. But they're a bit, to start off with, a bit sort of, what's the word for it? Groggy.
Yeah.
They look a bit weird as well. They're very sort of CGI.
Stupid?
I'll be quiet. You.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Anyway, so after Missy sort of rather sinisterly kills Osgood, she calls upon the Cybermen to fly around, attack the plane, and eventually Kate is thrown out of the plane, and so is the Doctor. But the Doctor does something very clever with the TARDIS, and flies into it and then lands quite safely, while Danny turns up in Cyberman form to have a final flirt with what's her name again? Clara, the Doctor, whoever Clara is. Anyway, he takes his little face helmet thing off, and he's had some work done, not looking quite good as he did a few minutes ago earlier on.
Got
the episode.
A couple of scars next to his nose.
Yeah, poor old Danny. But he's still in love with Clara. But he's not had his. He's got his inhibitor switched off at the moment, and he asks Clara to turn it back on again. And then when the Doctor turns up, he said, "Well, no, he mustn't do that, otherwise he'll kill you." And it turns out he needs it to be switched on so as he can communicate with the other cyber hive and find out what the hell's going on. So he talks Clara into turning it on. Well, he does it himself, doesn't he? And they say goodbye to each other in a sad way. And another thing I liked, actually, I'll mention this. When the Doctor does sort of get caught by the TARDIS, there's a quite long scene of some clouds, and it's sort of there for a while before the TARDIS pops up through the clouds. I quite liked that aspect of the fact they kept the clouds on the screen for a while before the TARDIS came up. I thought it was quite a clever bit of editing and directing. Anyway, so...
Shouldn't Kate have hit the ground by now?
Ah, we'll come to that later. I think Danny, even after this stage, a bit disrespectful to the Doctor, who's going to try his best in a minute to save the universe, world, again with the help of a certain Cyberman you were referring to a moment ago. Missy floats down holding her umbrella to have another little gloat.
I do like that.
In true master fashion. Obviously, once the inhibitor is turned off, Clara goes to cuddle Danny, but there's a point in which this gadget is thrown and she picks it up and holds it whilst cuddling Danny. And there's another little gadget which Missy gives to the Doctor, which will become relevant right at the end of the episode. And... I think that's right, because Missy's whole idea is to give the Doctor an army, i.e. these Cybermen. And there is a reference also within the story, which I haven't mentioned yet, when the Doctor and Missy have a conversation, is the Doctor saved Missy, obviously. He said, "I didn't save you, I saved Gallifrey." But it's actually, if I remember in the episode, the Master sort of saved Gallifrey by sacrificing himself to do so.
Yeah.
So I was a bit confused by that part of the story. But anyway, this goes on for a little bit, after Danny saves the day by telling all the Cybermen to burn, essentially, and therefore clearing the skies. But it wasn't quite all the Cybermen, was it? Because there was one left. Who salutes?
I absolutely despise the idea of a cyber brig. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, let me get there. Anyway, Kate's not dead. She's not dead because her dad saved her.
Who
happens to be another dead body that's been turned cyber. And there's the salute. And then that's basically the end of that part of the episode. And then Clara hears voices in the dark. Of course, the voice of Danny. And Danny, instead of saving himself, saves the little boy that he accidentally killed in the war. Then the doctor comes down to have a chat with different hairstyle again instead of haircut. have a chat with Clara, who pretends that Danny's still alive, and the doctor pretends that he found Gallifrey and it was all hunky dory, and they sort of part. And at the end of that episode, it's very much a special scene inserted to imply that Clara had left. And and this is why at this stage you weren't particularly worried about the Clara being the doctor scenario. I'm not worried about it at all, because I still felt the doctor was the doctor in this. Clara is just a very strong companion. And that essentially is the story, which was obviously a season finale, as they call it in the United States
and
America.
Can I never have to watch this story ever again, please?
Yeah, I'm not bothered. Certainly not going to be covering it again, Gerby. Lucky we're covering it this time, who I was feeling last week.
You better tell Earth Station, too, because they may be covering it.
Oh, well, I'm not a regular over there, and I will not do this one.
Okay, whatever. Oh, that's an interesting thought.
I have asked to be on when they talk about...
which podcast is this? Which podcast are you talking about? Are you talking about another podcast?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't listen. I was talking about this show we're supposed to be reviewing at the moment. But what podcast is this you're referring to?
Earth Station Who.
And who's the showrunner at Earth Station Who?
Mike Faber.
Faber, did you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why not friends? Earth Station Who.
Oh, there he is, Mike Faber.
I join in the chat occasionally.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's all coming out now, isn't it?
I've asked when they do Ghostlight, I've asked to be on that one because I really like Ghostlight, and they've already said that they don't like it.
They must be
corrected.
No, God's sake. Well, I think some people, sometimes your taste in Doctor Who is questionable. To be fair.
And yours isn't.
Mine's spot on. Mine is absolutely completely spot on. What was this? Sorry, what was the story we're reviewing at the moment? It was Dark Water, wasn't it? Dark. That says Duck.
Dark Water, Death in Heaven.
Water, Death in Heaven. There you go. I just messaged Mike Faber saying, "Hi, Mike. Kirby wants to review Dark Water, Death in Heaven."
Did you?
Hang on, let's have a look. Don't take no for an answer. Don't
did you?
Take
be adamant.
Take no for an answer. Oop. There we go. Right, so this particular tale is not as bad as Kirby makes out. It's a bit weird because it is literally two stories that are slightly, almost completely different, woven together as one. It's a bit of a weird, because of calling it a story, it's more of a series of events occurring within two things, sort of examples of a Doctor Who thing. But it's okay. It's not, so it's not majorly irritating. It's got enough in it for me to feel... I quite enjoyed that. One was Missy, two was the Doctor, three was Clara. I actually found Danny Pink, his timeline being a bit of a waste of time and being a bit pointless, other than to try and make out that Clara wasn't in love with the Doctor. I think that's why he was inserted into the whole story. Don't think there was a need for him to be in the series. Don't think there was a need for him to be killed. I'm not... worried about the cyber brig simply because he's dead, so it was not really him, it was just his bones being morphed into a Cyberman and an essence of himself, and no, enough of the essence of himself to save his daughter, and to do a salute to the Doctor, because they didn't really have a proper goodbye. They couldn't bring back Nicholas Courtney to do that, but it's about the on this instance, it was a good way of bringing him back. I can understand why people are a bit upset about it, but it's just
fan wank is all it is.
Yeah, it's just not necessary.
It was horrible fan
not wank. Necessary. There was no other way of doing it, but maybe either leave it completely, pretend he's not dead, or just do a little tribute like they did. I suppose the picture in the background would have been tribute.
The picture was enough.
How Cybermen are made.
Maybe so. And Mike Faber says, "Hey, Adam, that's when I almost dropped Doctor Who." Oh, dear. Right then. Okay. So, it's not as bad as Kirby says. It's not brilliant, to be fair, but there's enough in it to make it an entertaining thing, other than a few other Doctor Who stories. Well, actually, not that many, because we thought the whole series was rubbish before we actually started watching it. And actually, to be fair, bear in mind this is a season finale, most of it was actually quite good. And I still am starting to think that I'm not majorly bothered about Clara as a character. I think Jenna Coleman's fab. She's hot, obviously, as we mentioned quite a few times. The Doctor got over her and moved on. And I can just enjoy another couple of series of... Actually, no, one more series of Clara. So that's me playing it down, because I know you lot are going to be horrible about it. Starting with Debbie Melrose.
Not necessarily. Starting with who?
Well, if you didn't talk over it, you would have heard, didn't you? Starting with Debbie Melrose.
Well, I'm not going to be overly horrible about it. It's just the end of this whole season's direction. So, you know, it was inevitably going to sort of be a bit of a mismatch. Again, I like the music in this. The music at the moment in where we are in Doctor Who is brilliant. It carries a story, even if the plot line is going, where the hell are we going now? I didn't mind so much about this particular end. I thought this would be the end of us sort of going, here's Clara and her sidekick, the Doctor. And so I was like, hooray. But I just felt they turned the whole idea of cybers completely on their head. And they spend the next few seasons trying to drag it back to what cybers were.
Yeah, but don't you remember at one point Cybermen were allergic to gold? That seems to have died a death.
Yeah, so I know,
they
but
change
that was
them all the time.
Gold, and then the whole actual need for them to be able to wired to living tissue, and suddenly they're using desecrating the dead. You know, it's like it was a bit of a jump for a lot of people at the time, and I remember there was quite a furor about the idea.
But you know why? Like, because Doctor Who fans moan.
I know, but I'm just saying about, you know, like, they're like, oh, you're desecrating the dead. And it's like, yeah, but haven't you seen, you know,
real.
They come to get you, Barbara, you know. You know, not a new thing, but using it for cybers was just a bit stretched too far.
Dear.
Michelle Gomez steals everything she's in. I've watched her for years in all sorts of things, especially Green Wing. She was amazing in that. And she is, to this day, one of my favourite actors. And, having her in... It makes everybody else step up a bit as well, and sort of almost straighten up a bit to you've got to anticipate where she's going. You've got to see where she's going in the scene, and you can almost see the actor sort of watching her just to see, where am I being led this time? And I like that. I like that uncertainty of script work. Did Adam disappear again?
No, I have not disappeared again. No, how dare you?
Again. Sounded like you beeped again.
No, it's because I sent something to Mary.
I find this one hard work on different levels, and I would like to not review it again.
It is silly, but it's not horrible.
It's of the silly Doctor Who stories, this is incredibly silly. And this is where canon started getting absolutely chucked out of the window.
Okay, Kirby.
It's not silly. It's stupid. anyway,
it's stupid.
I'm mixed about this one. I'm not completely against it.
What?
Because I actually liked Dark Water.
Okay.
Dark Water was well put together, and the revelation of Missy. the revelation of the Cyberman. I didn't like the fact that they were the new super fast Cyberman, but that's just whatever. I liked St. Paul's. I liked killing.
Did you? Oh dear, well, that's not very nice.
I liked killing Danny.
Nice killing.
I'm tired of him. Oh, and by the way, Mike just said, ha ha ha. He just sent it to me. I can't stand that one either. I can message him as well, you know. Anyway.
Ooh.
Anyway, he just said it. I told him we're recording right now about it, and he said, enjoy. Anyway, it's Death in Heaven, where it just goes south very, very quickly. Death in Heaven has a few good things, and a whole lot of not good things. The whole business about Cybermen developing out of dead bodies. Oh, and Debbie, you mentioned the whole gold thing. What if someone was buried with gold jewelry?
Yeah, exactly.
Or have gold teeth.
Yeah.
Which is far more likely.
Transparency. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's, so I like the first half. I dislike the second half absolutely almost as much as I dislike the two worst episodes.
We know.
Yeah, you know the ones. I don't remember their names right now, but so.
Oh dear.
I'm done.
Okay. That leaves us with. Oh, and you know what I've forgotten to do? It's been long.
Orphan 55, which is the worst Doctor Who ever.
If you say so. I think I'm going to find that probably to be incorrect, and knowing your reputation for stinging Doctor Who episodes as being rubbish when they're not.
Oh, well, okay. I also did some moonlighting on Earth Station Who for Orphan 55, and we all just ripped it and got a new one.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to find the folder I need to move on to Mary. But it's all gone a bit funny. Bear with
me. Da, da, da.
No, I need to use the actual. It's contracted. It's contracted for me to use the actual sound effect. It comes under P. Puffer P. Here it is. Okay, everyone. Slick as ever. Go on then, Mary. Go on.
Well, you know, but I don't absolutely hate these. There are worse ones out there. But, you know, and kind of like Kirby, the first one, the first story was a little better. You know, the second one was not very good. Mm. But I have to say the thing that supports it all and makes me not hate it is Missy.
Absolutely.
And as we've all, you know, mentioned already, she's a delight to watch.
Absolutely.
And it's so nice to know that Rachel Salele was able to let her kind of, you know, do the things that felt Missy-like in her moments, because that really added a lot. First of all, I don't buy Claire's sudden devotion to Danny Pink. I mean, it hasn't been hardly any time. And all of a sudden, you know, he's so important that she's going to, you know, deprive the Doctor of his TARDIS, or she's, you know, she's going to die or something. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know, you really went off the cliff quickly over Danny Pink when all this time you two were just kind of, I don't know, you know, like that friendly flirting that people do. You know, we went from friendly flirting to now I'm going to sacrifice everything. So that was a bit quick. And I, too, am glad to see Danny Pink go, because I didn't think he served much of a purpose. Mm-hmm. I was kind of glad to see Osgood die.
Ooh,
I never thought she was a very interesting character. And even if you listen to Big Finish stories, you know, any of them that have the actress that plays Osgood, it's like you can't tell her from even the background characters. She's so dull. So I'm glad to see Osgood go.
I like her, but okay.
Yeah. And one thing that I did like that Missy had to say, it was a really good comparison, I think. She says that the afterlife is like babies in the womb, you know, 9 months, and they're, you know, they're in there happy and having a good time, and, you know, they don't know what's coming. And then the trapdoor opens and, you know, bang, gone forever, you know, but what they went into was another kind of life. So I really like that comparison. That was good writing. But so outside of, you know, the few things that I did like, it's like kind of like, you know, yawn, can we move on kind of thing. Yeah. So that's what I think.
Well, that's yes, it's fair enough. Is a good
agreed.
Way.
Agreed.
Okay, stuff coming through on the live feed. Oh God, hang on, to put that out of the way.
This is where Mary and I tend to agree on episodes for the next season.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably agree with you guys as well.
Right. Well, Rob Timek says hi, Rob. Or are they saying hi, Rob? And then Lillian says hi, Rob. It's all going off here, isn't it? Yeah. Ian Kirk says, there's going to be a new Who episode about the Beatles. Perhaps we could find a Beatles expert to review that. He's obviously talking about me. I did a quiz book, you know, about the Beatles. Lillian said, a Beatles episode with no Beatles music. Yeah,
well, I love the Beatles. They're one of my all-time favourite bands.
No. Stop jumping on the bagwagon there, Deb. And Metro Mars.
There's years and years of driving to France and back with nothing but that.
If memory serves right, you were born in 1976, were you not?
77.
What?
77.
Oh, therefore, I was listening to the Beatles in 1975. I win. All right, then, especially
Hadrian. Master.
Yes. Age has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does.
You know how they had to edit out in like the DVDs and stuff, all the Beatles music for that had been originally broadcast back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Because they are so expensive.
Right.
Apparently, the whole concept of this Beatles story, which is coming up, is that the new character, whatever her name's going to be, who has the musical notes that you've seen. Apparently, she's going to steal the Beatles' music, so there will be no Beatles music.
Okay, a bit like the film Yesterday. Well, then have you seen Yesterday?
How they get around the not having Beatles music.
Okay, but have you seen the film Yesterday? So it's sort of a similar sort of remit. Now, where was I? I got up to Terry Miles. Oh, Terry Miles. It's oh dear, you annoyed Skype, didn't you, Adam? Did I?
Well, that was when your voice was disappearing for us.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Lily Robbins says, I want Clara's dress in the episode for cosplay. Lillian, I'd like what's inside the dress. Not for any particular reason, and certainly not for cosplay. Rob Timek, Doctor was deposed as Lord President of Gallifrey way back in Trial of a Time Lord. And then, to me, it's a special breed of Cybermen created by Missy. Ah, that's a really good one. That deserves a ding.
Yeah, that's good.
That's why they work completely differently, from a lot of either the Cybermen. So there you go. That's explained rather well.
That is good.
Yes, it is. But there's been, it's almost similar to what I said about there's lots of different types of Cybermen. So that's a very good point. Okay.
I will remember that, and maybe I could watch this one again with that idea.
Yes, yeah, so well done, Rob.
Yes.
I think I might have lost my page. Oh, here we are. Well, yes, we're going into a realm of this, the 20 Megabyte podcast, where Kirby does his little bit of feedback. What normally happens is he's forgotten he's got to convey these bits of feedback to us. And we have to sit back and wait for him to get everything ready to do so.
I've found them all.
So I've got some music to play while this happens.
He's ready. He's ready.
How long are you going to let that play? Because I've got it waiting.
It's 2 minutes, 28 seconds, this piece of music.
You're going to bore the audience.
That's rich. Blimmin' heck. Carry on then, Kirby.
Okay. Fortunately, there wasn't a lot of feedback the first two times I posted requests for feedback.
Right.
I am still going to have to go out and find whatever was posted on the Isle of Wight one, but I'll do that after these ones. This was 3 weeks ago. Brandon Moore said, Dr. Chang, this is the first part of my feedback discussing part one. Part two should hopefully be in audio.
I may have that. I haven't seen it because I'm 3 pages back on my Google.
He says, I'm looking forward to the new Who episodes. I don't get what all the fuss is about the episodes coming out at midnight. It makes no difference to me. It makes no difference to me either. I'm not going to see them. Okay, Dark Water by Senor Moffat. This episode is very dark, especially for Doctor Who's usual standards. Mm-hmm. The death of Mr. Pink sets out the episode's stakes from early on. I remember it caught me off guard on first viewing, not just for the death of the character himself, but for the mundane and realistic way in which he died. Though it should be noted that it was pretty careless of Clara to stand in the middle of the road herself. Jenna Coleman is
the road had
hot,
been closed, yes.
Especially when she was in the volcano. She gets to do some good shouty acting to the doctor, and the idea of them heading to heaven is a good one. The whole don't cremate me idea is very chilling, and I like the way the 3W organization sets out its stall. Chris Addison is great as Seb, and I like the choices that Danny Pink is presented with at the episode's climax. The skeleton sat in the dark water only to be revealed as Cyberman is a great visual trick, but doesn't make a huge amount of sense. Yeah. Mostly seeming to be there for the audience's benefit come the reveal. Oh, and speaking of that reveal, the game was a bit given away by the return of the Cybermen being announced beforehand, which definitely took some of the oomph from the moment. And as for Missy, well, Michelle Gomez is simply superb, and the character is satisfyingly enigmatic to keep your interest, even though we all knew who she was going to turn out to be. This episode sets things out really well with high amounts of tension and drama. I would probably give it 8 out of 10. What a shame it all goes downhill so quickly. And then there's Ian's script, which I will ignore, and he then did his script again.
Which you're going to ignore?
Yes. And do I have anything else here? A few more comments, yes. Top comments, all comments. Things shift, sorry. Okay, no, I read that one. Okay.
This is slick. Do I need the music? Hang on.
No.
Oh, you say you don't need
it. I'm here. I've got it. Bill McCann III says, nope.
Okay. That's the best review I saw of it. I was like, I thought maybe I should comment or something, but I just was like, nah, that's just perfection.
Genius, genius.
Neil James, whoever he is, isn't he an actor?
Oh, some.
He's a great actor. You need him be.
Actor.
He's an actor. Leave him be.
Like doctor. Darkwater.
One of Lillian's associates.
Fed up of Clara. Destroying TARDIS keys. Destroying TARDIS keys is highly offensive. Missy is wonderful. Seb is good. The visuals are ace. I thought Sophie Aldred was ace. The dark subject matter is well handled. Kate is pretty cool. 3.5 stars out of 5. Mr. M says, I commented last time for part one, have sent some audio for part two. And I was supposed to ask you, Master, if you found the email that Terry Miles has sent in.
Yes.
If you have, yes. I'm supposed to ignore this
feedback. I've sent it to the relevant department.
So you do not have it?
Oh, my God. Right, okay. I'll try again.
I sent it to the relevant department went over your head. God.
Yes, I have the email. Thank you, Kirby. Thank you. I have the email.
You do have it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Oh, is it? Oh.
I've got to check the Isle of Wight Doctor Who fans.
Don't bother.
Let's see. Martin Dean says the Brigadier is not a Cyberman. That never happened.
Oh, that made you happy, didn't it?
Three laughing faces. Let's see if there's anything more. I forgot to one of those weeks I forgot to ask for comments. Nope. I think that's it. That's it.
Okay, good. Well, we have more because about three or four, however, 5-6 weeks ago, however it was last time, we were originally supposed to do this. This particular story, so a load of feedback came through. And we're going to begin with the dulcet tones of Mary Lang, who is now going to dictate what the Miles is sent in.
Yes, yeah, they sent a lot of quotes.
Yes.
Okay. What a bossy woman Clara is turning into. Shut up, shut up. Now then, here's a lesson for everybody that walks across roads while talking on your mobile.
Yes.
Oh dear, they killed Danny. Now, threatening the doctor is not going to get you anywhere. Are you being cremated? Oh, that's the kid Danny killed when he was a soldier. They use iPads in the afterlife. Why would you keep skeletons in a water-filled box, sitting on a chair? They should use this stuff in swimming pools. Why? Well, think about it. I am thinking about it. Why? Could you please hurry up or I'll hit you with my shoe? The three words, don't cremate me. So at last, the strange woman from this season is exposed as the female version of the master, a.k.a. Missy, when she meets the doctor. Being male to female, Missy Master, is still totally mad.
Absolutely.
Ah, they were in St. Paul's Cathedral all the time. Ah, kamikaze Cyberman. Six sugars in coffee. Yeah, that was a good scene where he puts all that sugar. Where did Clara get the duffel coat from? When Danny knocked her out, all she had on was a dress. Ah, flying Cybermen, they must have got jealous of the Daleks. So Missy was the one who gave Clara the TARDIS phone number. Dropping Kate from a great height is not very nice. Permission to squee! Danny gives the doctor a great speech. Will it sink in and will the doctor take notice? Just point and think. Oh, look, it's Mary Poppins. In Earth's darkest hour, of course, the brig would be there. Oh, no, it's Santa and snow. Wait up, that will be the Christmas show. I wonder if there will be snow in it. All in all, Linda and I enjoyed this one. Looking forward to Christmas next week. Linda and
Yay,
Harry.
Christmas!
Yeah.
Christmas in April! Yay!
Yeah, well, Flying Cyberman is a good point, actually. It was quite a good idea and a good effect, but never went back to her. That's interesting to note. That's me. I just heard myself coming back. How weird is that? Okay, the next bit, you can rest for a little while, maybe open up a bottle of wine, maybe some Chardonnay, and tip it into a glass while wearing your dressing gown and doing the ironing.
Well, giving you 20 megabytes Anthony here. It's 10 to 6, about the bathroom of Sunday. It's nice relaxing before having to get up at 4:15 in the morning to go to work in London, but hey, that's life. Well, over the last couple of days, I've been watching Dark Water and Get in Heaven. And these really are two very different episodes, because the first one, Dark Water, is absolutely excellent. I mean, it really is. I think it races along and you're trying to work out what's going on. There's so much in there with Danny being killed off and Danny in the afterlife, and you're trying to work out what the afterlife is. And then Missy turns up and you've got all these skeletons, and it's all about the dead being contacted afterlife. And, you know, there seems to be some, that's what it seems to be. And then you find out about Danny having killed a Spellborgian who's a soldier. And then the doctor is going to be conned by Clara. Only she thinks she's conned him, but actually it's the way around. He's got her to see what she would do. And he actually goes to try and help her to go and get Danny back. And this is actually, you know, this is showing the doctor as being the caring side of the doctor, which you don't always see. You know, this is, you know, given the fact that, you know, Clara effectively tried to ruin his life by throwing away his TARDIS keys and, you know, leaving him stranded, and yet he's still prepared to help her. It just shows the depth of feeling he has for her. So anyway, you end up in this afterlife, the Nether Sphere, and you're seeing these skeletons, and you wonder, what on earth are these skeletons, and who is Missy? And then you get the two real big bangs. You find out that they're Cybermen, and then you find out who Missy is, and that is just absolutely amazing. I think it really is. You know, I think you're not sure the curse of the Doctor becoming a woman anyway. But I think that the way she plays I think, you could say she plays the master, is really good because she's so hard, she really has got one over on the Doctor here. And doing, the way she plays it, I think it's just so really good. And anyway, so we end up with Clara being trapped with the Sideman because she's managed to get there to find where the Doctor, where Danny is. And it's, this really just made you think, wow, it's a great episode, this is. And I've really enjoyed it. The only trouble is, you then come on to Deep Breath. No, you don't come to Deep Breath at all. You come to Death in Heaven. I don't know why I said Deep Breath. I'm definitely losing it big time. And this just wasn't so good, was it? I mean, it was going through, you're understanding they're trying to, Missy is trying to remake the Sidemen, but it just doesn't work. I'm sorry, just the rain that goes down and suddenly dead bodies come back to life and they get metal bodies and encase them. And then you get the Sidemen attacking the aeroplane and Doctor's the president of the Earth. It's, oh, for flip's sake. It just really was dreadful, this one. It just didn't flow. It didn't work at all. And so, I'm sorry, this just wasn't good. The way the Doctor... Well, he doesn't kill. Of course, he doesn't kill Missy. Missy gets killed by the Brigadier Sideman. So I'm sorry, that's just crap. It really is. It's just you can't imagine the Brig doing that, can you? I just cannot see how we do that. And it's just so. Oh, it happens to be that the Sideman that is the Brigadier happens to be in the right place at the right time. No. The only good bit about it is that. The Doctor, saying who he is, he's not the good man, but he's not a bad man. Who is he? What does he do?
Doctor Who.
I think that's the only bit you do get about it. And again, you understand the depth of the Doctor's feelings for Clara, that it just shows how he does really feel for her, and he will go and help her. And that's what he will do. The bit with the bracelet going to Danny, and Danny sending the young boy back rather than Jenna. Of course, in Jenna at night, we're very nice indeed, because she is hot. I'm sure somebody else has said that. But I think that really, really works well. There are some really, really good bits, some great lines in this. I mean, the bit about when Clara says, you say something like that again, and I'll detach part of your body. I think there really were some very good scenes in there as well. And the bit at the beginning, with the eyes being replaced, did it work? Didn't it work? I don't know. You can never really tell how it worked. And what the worst thing was, the killing off of Osgood. I mean, that was just... I'm sorry, but that was just so bad how they do that. And, of course, you still don't know what happened to Missy, because, has she been killed? Did the Doctor kill her? Did the Brigadier kill her? You don't know, because, obviously... She does come back. And then, of course, at the end, there you go. You get Father Christmas back again. And so that was it. So you had one really, really good episode and one, I'm sorry, but really poor episode.
Yep.
And, it's... I think, we all know this is a Doctor Who getting bad, isn't it?
Anyway, not necessarily.
Next time.
We will review that aspect of it in due course.
By the way, someone we all know was one of the soldiers that dragged Missy, arrested Missy and was holding her before she kills Osgood.
Well, John Davey.
John Davey, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's part of his reel of bits that he shows, as to what he's done. So, yeah, he's one of those soldiers.
All right, this has got to the point where I turn into Kirby and have to scroll through several pages of old emails to get to where I need to be.
Okay, then you need to play the music.
Do I? I did get one come through today, and for some reason I can't see it now. Where did that come from? Oh, I know who we're looking for. Ian Kirk, wasn't it? Ian Kirk. Uh-huh. Ooh. We sent two. Which one do we play? Are they both the same length? That's what she said. There's a third one here. Oh, that's Forest of the Night. I'll tell you what. We'll play the one that he sent originally.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hey.
Hello.
Dark Water and Death in Heaven by Stephen Moffat. It will be upsetting to some people, and the story at first suggests that dead people regret being cremated. Later it turns out this is just Missy not wanting to lose potential Cybermen. The first part just sets up the situation. It does finally reveal who Missy is. The Promised Land uses iPads, but Missy is pretending to be an android. Why are the Cybermen stored in Dark Water? It is just because it looks good on TV, and so they can burst out as a tribute to Tomb of the Cybermen.
Yeah.
Clara hallucinates destroying the TARDIS keys, but the Doctor forgives her. It was pointless anyway, as he can open the door by snapping his fingers.
That's what you said. Yeah.
There is a cameo by a cyber brigadier. Farewell to Osgood and Danny Pink. And that raises a question about how Danny is to have a descendant, Orson Pink.
Exactly.
Previously on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, I predicted that New Who Series 1 would be released as a birthday present for Adam. It is coming out on May the 11th.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I have.
Bye for now.
I'm filming that day, so I won't see it until later. So, but thank you very much, Ian. Oh, good. This is working well, isn't it?
Yeah, what are we going to do about recording?
Cyberbrick, does whatever a cyberbrick does. Can he swing from a thread? No, he can't. He's the brig, look out, he's a cyber brig.
We were singing that.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcasters, it's Mr. M here, with some feedback for Death in Heaven by Stephen Moffat. Well, as you will have hopefully just seen, I really liked Dark Water. I thought it was very good. All the cards were stacked very excitingly for a fantastic blockbusting finale. What a letdown.
Thank God.
Probably the biggest disappointment that I've had for an episode built on the previous installment. This is why I'm reviewing it in two parts. Part one was so good. Part two, I struggle to think of a single thing I liked about it. I'm now actually going to contradict myself and say I liked Clara pretending to be the Doctor or seeming to be the Doctor. But what was the point of it? It added nothing except a chance to mess around with the title sequence and put Jenna Coleman's eyes there instead of Peter Capaldi's. What a waste of time. The Cybermen are sadly reduced to Missy or the Master's lackeys throughout the episode and don't really do a lot. They could have just been generic robots. And this happens in pretty much every single one of the Cybermen's appearances from this point onwards in the new series. Not good. Missy is a good character, very well acted by Michelle Gomez, but this is definitely Missy's weakest story, and given that it's her debut, that this is a great shame. Not too keen on Danny wandering around as a half-transformed Cyberman. Clara, again, doesn't really get any strong moments other than that opening scene throughout the episode. Unit turn up. I like Unit. I like Kate Stewart. I think she's a good character. Osgood is good. No pun intended. And what do Unit actually provide in this story? Not a lot. They see the Cybermen go flying up in the sky and think, oh yeah, let's go get in our great big flying helicarrier and go right where we've just seen our enemies disappear to. Oh, and now they're attacking us. Didn't expect that. Just use some common sense. The Graves have the Graves coming to life as Cybermen is a good idea, but is pretty badly done throughout the episode. And do not get me started on the cyber brig. Jenna Coleman is, of course, hot. But it's a shame that she didn't leave in this episode. It would have been a good ending to her character arc. Although, as I said, she didn't really do a lot in this episode. The scene where Danny is, or we think Danny is going to be coming back, but instead the child that he killed comes back, is incredibly twee, doesn't make any kind of sense whatsoever. The only saving grace for the episode, really, is the last scene where we see that the Doctor and Clara are lying to each other. I like that ending. It would have been nice if we'd left the characters there, but I don't have too much of a problem with her returning in Last Christmas. So it just would have been neater, I think, if she had departed at this point. I also was pretty sure we were going to learn that she was pregnant. There was a post-it note in the first episode that said 9 months or something like that. Some number of months, I don't remember. And there was a lot of speculation between that episode and this that we'd find out that Clara was pregnant with dead Danny's unborn child. But not to be. And the actual very, very last scene with Father Christmas / Santa Claus turning up mid-credits, interrupting the credits of Doctor Who,
Santas can do that.
Got me excited about what was going to happen in the Christmas special.
It's Nick Frost!
The only real thing I haven't yet talked about is Peter Capaldi. Peter Capaldi is great in this episode. The Doctor, not so much. I feel like the entire of the Doctor's questioning of his morality, asking if he is a good man, is very contrived and is probably one of the weakest story arcs that we get throughout Stephen Moffat's time. But that aside, Peter Capaldi acts it really, really, really well. Front end of the scene where he thinks he has finally found Gallifrey again and there's nothing there, and he takes out his anger on the TARDIS console. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. So Peter Capaldi is another one of the few good things about this episode. I would probably have to give this episode a 3, maybe 3.5 out of 10.
No.
I don't remember now what I gave the first part, but I feel like I gave it an 8. So if you take that and work out an average, it would probably be somewhere around the 4.5 out of 10, 5 for the whole story, which seems fair. It's probably my least favourite series finale, especially of the 12th Doctor's run. Series 8 is also probably my least favourite of the 12th Doctor's. I think it's an era that does get progressively better. There are more standout stories as we go on, and I feel like the characterisation of the 12th Doctor has been misjudged. They did try to do the Colin Baker thing of softening him from his initial harsh abrasiveness as time goes on. I think they did a better job than they did with Colin, but it's still a bit unnecessary because they pushed it too hard at times. Some of the extremes were good and some of the extremes were just too extreme. But it's not as bad as some of the Chibnall era. I'm only teasing. Right, next time, it's Christmas. It's a Christmas movie mashup featuring aliens and Game of Thrones and all kinds of stuff. Can't wait to watch that story again. Until then.
Until then?
Until then?
Oh, I thought he was going to say, like, goodbye or something, but he didn't.
Until then?
Yes, until then, yes.
That was a cliffhanger of a podcast. A feedback cliffhanger. Lillian Robbins says, I found the dress, but can't afford it. Ian Kirk says, both the same. What, the dress? Ian. That's very interesting. Right then, so we can move on.
I think he's talking about you had 2 recordings from him.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't. I'm not going to play a second one if it's the same as the first one, Kerb. I know you'd like me to, just to be a completionist and all that. Right then. So, Doctor Who news. After 6 weeks, you would expect there to be some. So, I'm going to have a look.
There is. What?
Be quiet. okay. So, where are we? That was what date on that one? 15th of May, March. Sorry, it's probably the first one. Like you referred to, the returns on the 11th of May. Doctor, I've got the titles of the episodes as well. Hopefully that will be there somewhere. But it says Doctor Who is set to make a return to the screens worldwide on Saturday, the 11th of May, 2024, featuring Shooty Gatwa, who was on the Oscars. Did anybody see Shooty on the Oscars?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
who spotted him then, good. Alongside Millie Gibson, who Deb seems to think, that's my Deb, that she's going back to Corrie. And there's a reason why she's not going to be in Doctor Who anymore. She got recalled to Coronation Street, perhaps.
But she is going to be in Doctor Who.
Who?
She is going to be in Doctor Who.
Yes, but she's leaving.
Keep reading. No.
Yes.
Keep reading.
Okay, I'll move on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Stephen Moffat returns to Doctor. This is the news, of course, that there's one of the new episodes is being written by Meven Stoffert. So obviously we'll have to skip that one because nobody likes him. Is that correct? Because apparently he's rubbish.
It'll probably be pretty good because he was always a good writer.
Apparently he's rubbish. Apparently. But we'll see. But I'm quite pleased personally. To see Stephen's name come. I was quite surprised in some ways not to see virtually every episode is written by Russell T. Davis. I'm a bit surprised they were able to fit Stephen in under those circumstances. Welcome to the 60s. The BBC has released new imagery promoting the upcoming series of Doctor Who, which is very cool because the poor old Shooty Gatwick, he always looks so terrible in every photo shoot he does, doesn't he, everybody? He hasn't got any screen presence at all. I mean, I don't know why he got the part of the Doctor, because he doesn't look good in anything he ever does. It's appalling.
They don't dress him well at all.
No, it's not as if he could sort of get away with wearing a bin liner and still look absolutely fantastic or anything, is it? Is anybody jealous of Shooty Gatwa's good looks or anything? Oh, it's all quiet. I can't hear anybody say so.
Remember when the Doctor never changed clothes and it looks like...
I know. At least we know.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
The Doctor's going to smell nice. Right. There's the Doctor Who magazine 602, which I presume you can get at whoone.co.uk.
With is that whoone.co.uk?
On the cover. Do you remember when Doctor Who magazine used to have cartoons in it? Yeah, that's when it was... it was when Marvel owned it and they used to do all sorts of really cool cartoon stuff. Doctor Who, the episode titles and guest star revealed. So the episode titles therefore are, and it's not a spoiler because they are out there, Space Babies, written by Russell T. Davis, directed by Julie Ann Robinson. The Devil's Chord, written by Russell T. Davis and directed by Ben Chessel. I said Jen Bessel nearly there.
Yeah. Yes.
Boom. Written by Stephen Moffat, sorry, and directed by Julie Ann Robinson, who directed the first episode. 73 Yards, written by Russell T. Davis, directed by Dylan Holmes Williams. Dot and Bubble, written by Russell T. Davis, directed by Dylan Holmes Williams. It's a shame we're not seeing old, matey back that directed a lot of good stories in Russell T. Davis's first series. I can't remember his name now.
Rachel Talele is not directing anything because she's a director.
Rogue, written by Kate Herron, Brian E. Redman, and directed by Ben Chessel. The Legend of Ruby Sunday, written by Russell T. Davis, directed by Jamie Donoghue. And Empire of the Death. Notice no Daleks mentioned in these titles. Maybe that's a good thing. Not to say we shouldn't have Daleks, but just saying it's good they don't mention them in the titles. Written by Russell T. Davis and directed by Jamie Donoghue. Very excited. It's coming soon.
The rumor is that it's a Dalek Empire.
It's a rumor, Kirby. Right. BBC launches new Wonder Chase experience on Roblox. The 15th Doctor and Ruby Sunday feature in a brand new game, BBC Wonder Chase, which is launched on Roblox.
I've never heard anyone pronounce it that way. It's Roblox.
Roblox is different.
It says Roblox, so I'm going to pronounce it as Roblox. That's on Friday the 5th of April, that particular piece of news came out. Doctor Who is one of the brands featured on the new service, which includes shows like Match of the Day, EastEnders, and... The Next Step as well. So, and it's nice to segue, actually, talking about EastEnders. Our friend, Valile Shabalala, was in it last Tuesday. If you go on the iPlayer, if you go to the episode that was on last Tuesday, playing I don't even watch the series.
She's the wife of the pastor.
Pastor, the pastor's wife. Very sinister she was in it as well. But being Valile, she can't not be beautiful. I was hoping to find that clip on YouTube, but it's not on there. What I did find is a lovely clip of Valile being behind the scenes talking about the role of Rosita. And she looks so young. And there's talking about the new companion, Varada Sethu, who's had her picture taken with Shuti and Millie.
What? Master, read that. It says that she will join the 15th Doctor and Ruby Sunday in the second season.
Not gonna read
so
that.
Ruby Sunday is not going anywhere.
I'm not
going
to read that, I'm afraid. Sorry.
I just read it.
Not right away.
Okay, right, that's that bit done. Let's see what else I can find on this computer. Oh, we can see what anybody said on the live feed, can't we? That'd be interesting to see if anybody has. Nope, they haven't. No, anybody's still watching? Yeah, we've still got people watching. I can always close it down. We can always have a rule, can't we? If the viewing figures go to zero, I can just shut the feed down and save myself a job. And everybody else can then listen to what this is, a podcast. Most of listen to the podcast. What was I just about to do? I was going to look up something, wasn't I? Oh, yes, news.
Look up some more feedback.
No, I haven't got any more feedback. I think we've done quite well. So. You see, you leave, wait for 3 weeks, and you get, on average, it's not a good amount of feedback. But for this particular episode, it wasn't too bad. Right, I've just got to type a word in to do a search. Media.
While you're looking, I got a message from the Chicago TARDIS people as they're listing their guests, and one of the guests this year is going to be Joe Martin. I'm really excited.
Oh, cool.
Yes, no, Joe Martin. You mentioned about Joe Martin. I'm glad you did that, because she's appearing at Southampton Comic Con when I will be in London. But I mentioned this to Debbie, because she essentially is a doctor, whether you lot like it or not.
Of course she's
Debbie,
a doctor.
Yeah, it's a doctor I haven't had my picture taken with, and Debbie is sort of thinking we might leave London earlier on that day, on Saturday, than we originally intended to. So,
yeah, I couldn't go. I was going to go. I would love to go, but it's clashed with Ina's birthday stuff. So.
Well, I'm not saying I'm definitely going, yet, because I haven't bought a ticket, but it's something that we're considering. I'd have to buy a ticket in advance, obviously, because we're going to London the week after next to do a few things, one of which is going to sit with VIP tickets to take that. Then also we're going to see that both Harry Potter and the Cursed Child performances, one's at 2 p.m. Aww. One's at 7 p.m. I'm really pleased about getting an opportunity to see that.
I'm very jealous.
Oh, well. Yeah, and yeah, that's basically about it. Maybe we were thinking about doing a few bits and bobs in London, but there's a chance we might come back to Southampton to meet, what's the name again?
Martin.
Yeah, Joe Martin. And on the Sunday, there's in the same location, a couple of us, like me and Mick, and then maybe a couple of others, are going to the Southampton Brick Festival, which is a festival for Lego people.
Oh, I was going to say, what kind of...
There's no need to be facetious.
You could have a serious interest in like, classic red bricks of Britain or something. I don't know.
Right, okay.
It's a legitimate obsession.
Oh, it's an obsession. Ah, I wonder what it was. Right then. Okay, because this show is a media presentation, we have a media release to read out, and I do apologise, this may take some time. I might have to skip over some of these bits, actually. The countdown to FantasyCon 2024 is on. Yay. Celebrate the best in comic, film, TV and pop culture entertainment with amazing experiences, local comic artists and celebrity guests, interactive activities and more. Having been recently nominated for the award of Red Funnel Best Island Event 2024, FantasyCon, the Isle of Wight's very own Comic-Con, sponsored by Red Funnel Isle of Wight Ferries, is gearing up for a spectacular extravaganza on that Saturday, the 19th of October, of One Leisure Medina, Fairley Road, Newport, Isle of Wight. This year, we are delighted to be partnering up with local good cause Mountbatten Isle of Wight to raise awareness for their amazing fundraising events for the hospice they run in Newport. And it's a great opportunity to raise money for the event with at least a voluntary donation at the car park, which will be free on the day. The events and attractions will appeal to all ages as the biggest family-friendly Comic-Con of its kind on the island makes its return with immersive experiences like VR gaming, stars of film, media, TV, some award-winning writers as illustrators along with cosplay parades, interactive fun, panelists and much more. We have retro gaming, Masters of Lego, Lord of Time, mini Doctor Who convention featuring screen used TARDIS, Daleks, and of course our Doctor Who stars. Convention, that word shouldn't be there. A wrestling demonstration. We've got the wrestlers coming. That's a local wrestling team, by the way. Dungeons and Dragons, a board gaming zone, and Q&A sessions hosted by Paul Wilson,
daddy of the show.
And there's a picture of the Howes, because the Howes are both coming back, Samantha and David. And I did actually watch Stranger in Our Bed the other day. It's quite a charming little thriller. If you haven't seen it already, I would recommend watching it. Of course, we know what David and Samantha do. She's an award-winning screenplayer. Moving on. We have Ross Sandbridge, who, I'll read a little bit of his blurb. It says, standing at 7'1", Ross has used his height to help bring iconic characters to life, including playing the body of Supreme Leader Snoke alongside Andy Serkis in Star Wars The Last Jedi, and as a Wookiee slave in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Ross has also featured in...
That's incidentally Isla's favourite Star Wars movie is Solo.
Okay.
Islands, I said, not mine.
Okay. So Ross has also Ross has also featured in films such as Artemis Fowl, Breathe, True Horror, and many more. And I'll move on. Rosalind Lander, she initially was in Cat's Eyes, when I remember, before appearing in a specific episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation. The picture of which I've posted is her being flirted at by Riker.
Remember that episode of Star Trek? Yeah,
it's a good episode, that one. Sylvester McCoy, don't have to do any explanations about Sylvester. Jeff Rawl, I'll read out Jeff's one because it's quite brief. Jeff Rawl is a well known for portraying George Dent in the news gathering sitcom Drop the Dead Donkey and Silas Blissett in the Hollyoaks from December 2010 until 2012. Rawl returned to Hollyoaks in 2016, 2020, and 2022. He is also known for his role as Amos Diggory in The Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, 2005.
My boy!
All right. Has garnered, that's a good word, isn't it? Notable notoriety for his performance as the character. Obviously, we are thrilled that Jeff has agreed to come this year. We've got Wendy Padbury. I'm not going to explain who she is. And Fraser Hines, not going to explain who he is. Coming to the end now. The Force will be strong in what is set to be the con's biggest experience to date, dedicated to the fabled space phenomenon Star Wars. In a fully immersive experience, you will be able to explore the galaxy far, far away, complete with scene setups, character interaction, photo opportunities run by the dedicated Joker Squad. The Red Funnel Masters.
Nice.
Red Funnel Masters Lego competition, where the winner will get a £100 Lego store voucher. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, seen on Channel 5's The Isle of Wight, Jewel of the South, which is a bit of a laugh, really. If you cover the parts of the Isle of Wight they didn't cover, you know. Local celebrities like drag talent Quivers and local actors of TV and film. Our annual cosplay competition returns with expert judges and host Robin Flux with heroes providing great prizes for the winners. Flag and lightsaber spinning activity. For comic book fans, we have the artists and producers of Hardcore Hair with lots of merch on offer as well. Other graphic artists will be added to the bill. Tickets can be purchased at www.fantccon.net, where we were near capacity last year, so don't be disappointed, as in buy a ticket, otherwise you might not get one. Follow FantasyCon on Facebook and Instagram, and look out for our hashtag FantasyCon for more announcements as they happen.
What's the hashtag?
What?
Never mind.
I'm now going to post on the 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group, which you can join, Dalek, which I will be acquiring allegedly when Portsmouth Comic Con returns on the weekend of my birthday. I will be going there on my birthday, picking up this Dalek, which I'm just posting on the page now. It isn't complete. It needs a light and an eye stalker. It has got a plunger and a gun, but it's not in the photo. But I don't care. I still think he looks quite pretty, even without there. It will be a little bit of a project for me to do him up a bit, but I don't think it requires too much doing up. It is a garden ornament, so it's actually quite heavy and made of stuff that makes it capable of living in a garden, which might be quite appropriate, because we certainly haven't got enough room in the house for it. Right.
I wish I could have a Dalek.
You want a Dalek?
Yes, I do too.
Available on the internet.
I like a garden Dalek.
Lillian Robbins says, don't you dare not do the live feed. No, I just said if the viewing figures went down to zero, because at the moment they're 3. Right then, remember guys, where there's a part of the show that where I normally do what we watched this week. Where it's been 6 weeks, it feels like 6 weeks, I feel we might be doing a little bit of overkill on that thing. But
yes,
I did watch a
except
film.
I actually watched something.
Well, I've watched several things, but
like
I've just forgot what they are.
One thing, because you tend to jump in and take over.
I've watched lots of good stuff. There's some, honestly, before, all right, I will say, Debbie.
I'm like, how have you
no,
got
Debbie,
time?
Debbie.
What?
I will mention that some particularly good archaeological type programs on at the moment, featuring the sultry Dr. Alice Roberts, who's getting on a bit now. She's not quite as sultry.
Not so
as
sultry,
Dr.
No. Mary Beard.
But there's it's called Britain's Biggest Dig. A three-part episode about digging up graves in Birmingham and London to make way for a high-speed...
we've been watching that.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And that series, The Great British Dig, I think it's called, isn't it? It's a regular series.
That, yeah.
Which has probably been...
I actually got into that, finally.
Best series so far in regards to the relics they've found in it. But there's also been a load of other really good stuff in relation to history, which has helped me compile a load more of... bits of my pamphlet, what I've been writing about my family history, which when you go back further and there's everybody's family history. So that's why I've been putting in some of the stuff right back in time, right back in time, and featuring the history of the Isle of Wight as well, which I think is quite appropriate. But what we watched today was a film called Priscilla, and Americans probably won't be aware of a chap called Elvis Presley. Because if you're into things like Doctor Who and stuff, you probably haven't even heard of Elvis Presley, but he does feature in a lot of music based things. Anyway, this film's called Priscilla, which is about his wife, Priscilla Presley, and it does rather depict imply that he might have been a bit of a paedophile. It doesn't sort of shout it at you, but I think you might be able to work it out when the fact she was 14 when he pulled her and he was 24.
All celebrities are being accused of being paedophiles.
Yeah, I know. But it doesn't paint it in that way, but you can work it out if you watch it quite carefully. But I tell you what, she loved him anyway. But it's a great film. It looks like it's quite low budget because the way it's done, it feels like it should have actually been a TV film rather than a screen movie, a cinema film or whatever. But I really enjoyed that one. I do like biopics because I've seen plenty of biopics about. You might, if you want to know who Elvis Presley is, guys, you're going to have to Google him. But I do like. I've seen plenty of biopics about Elvis Presley, and it doesn't really paint him as a baddie, but it paints him as he was. He's quite temperamental, wasn't he? Very talented, very temperamental. But yeah,
Master.
And yes.
I was at Elvis's birthplace last week.
Did you stumble across it by accident, or did you have to? No, when you were there, did you have to?
It.
When you were there, did you have to Google who Elvis was?
Even Kirby's getting frustrated.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kirby. I couldn't resist that. But yeah, that was a good film. We have been to cinema quite a lot in the last 6 weeks, actually, watching several movies, and it's really frustrating for myself.
Did you see
Ghostbusters? Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't watched that yet. That's one of the ones we haven't seen. A Death in Paradise Christmas special we actually watched, amazingly. So we're about to start watching Death in Paradise and the other series that we've recorded series two and haven't even watched series one yet, the one with Chris Marshall. But watched so much stuff. I'm afraid I just can't remember off the top of my head. But if you say anything that sparks my memory, I will tell you, I will mention it. Debbie, there's anything that particularly, don't go for everything, just something that's jumps out and that you've watched and really enjoyed.
I'm basically going to say I've been on a bit of a Star Trek tip this last month.
Oh, have you?
I've moved over to, I've watched all the classic the motion picture and everything, Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock. Yeah, all that, I've been watching that, and then I've sort of jumped over to modern Star Trek as well, because Tom and I have been watching that too, and it's been quite fun just sort of hopping between the timelines, shall we say. And I've done quite a lot of Star Trek watching, as well as Doctor Who and anything historical I can find, like the new Mary Beard about the Romans. She's probably presented absolutely everything
Debbie, is that the one you talked about, that one episode about the Roman emperors? There's a new series coming out about the new discoveries in Pompeii.
Yeah, I know, that's going to be
really cool.
Because of another thing that's re-shown up on iPlayer is The Invisible Cities, again, with Alexander Armstrong and Dr. Michael Scott.
Oh, yes.
And they are brilliant.
Where's this? Sorry, I want to watch this.
They did that. I mean, it's about 5-6 years old now, but they brought it back on. So key in Invisible Cities, you won't be disappointed.
Right, I'm going to type that
in. Literally, they do a scan of Herculaneum and there's like 2/3 of it still buried underground.
Yeah, that's the stuff that they're looking at now, isn't it? They're doing... Yeah. Archaeology there now.
They scan a villa that's under the water over Campi Flegrei, the super volcano.
Yeah.
And they scan it, and then the VR archaeology means they can get down on their hands and knees in a VR room and look in minute detail. It's like to the millimeter. They can
Isn't it called like Vadar or something like that? Gadar. There's some kit they've got because they found lots of. Mayan and Aztec archaeology that's hidden in the forest using this.
It is. It's the new laser.
And it strips away the forest and enables people to find some amazing unknown archaeology.
That's been really cool because I love watching that I'm studying archaeology anyway. I've always wanted to be one, so I've actually taken it upon myself to actually study it. And because I'm bored, I'm not doing anything. I hate being... unable to do anything.
Archaeology isn't boring.
An archaeologist will eventually find you, and then you will be one.
Yeah. won't find any. Although you talk about finding those graves, they have to move the graves. This is why I did mention this in that program about the Britain's biggest dig. They have to move the dead bodies to a new location. That's why they were digging them up. Reinterred them. But they found lots of really interesting stuff. But no Cybermen.
This new show that Mary Beard has done.
Hang on a minute. Let me just have a look at iPlayer. It literally comes up with it's brand new on iPlayer, and it's about
Roman emperors.
About the emperors, but it's also about people who work for them.
Yes.
So hang on.
Yeah, it's
But I tell you what, if you Google first on iPlayer, Rome's Invisible City, and then it leads you to the others.
Yeah, so it's basically about. I think if you Google Roman emperors, then it should come up with it. There.
Yeah, and it's all about the Roman emperors and what they did every day.
Her book on Rome is just fascinating.
That's it. Yeah, Meet the Romans. Yeah, Meet the Roman Emperor with Mary Beard is that episode.
Yeah, it's cool. Really good.
Really worth watching.
Is that part of a series?
No, it's a one-off.
No, that's a one-off, but she does have series on iPlayer, which are Meet the Romans.
And Pompeii as well.
And Meet Caligula and things like that. She's quite... The story about Little Boots is brilliant. She does really... Presents beautifully, absolutely beautifully.
Right. She loves the subject as well.
Freebie. I get Freebie.
Well, I just know it's on iPlayer, so... I can't help. I know, that's what I'm saying.
Listeners are in Great Britain.
It would be on that, but in Britain, as a British viewer on iPlayer at the moment, I've been watching a lot of historical stuff.
Well, you also have every Doctor Who available.
Anyway, let's move on from having every Doctor Who available to try and establish stuff to encourage people to watch outside of the world of Doctor Who.
There's a world outside Doctor Who.
Yeah, there is.
Yes, there is.
Is that it, Deb?
Yeah. Okay. I've just been in.
Go on then, Kirby.
Well, the main thing that I watched a couple of nights ago was, since I said hi to Hoggle at Unclaimed Baggage again.
Yeah, you got to keep, every time you go, you have to post that picture.
Well, they moved him. They moved him from they had a little tiny museum, and now they've made a much bigger room that's got lots of stuff. So
I'd really like to go. Every time you post from that, I'm like, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, but so obviously I watched Labyrinth again.
Never mind.
And the other cool thing about Labyrinth is, you know, I play a mini golf game in virtual reality. And there is a course set in the Labyrinth universe.
Oh, I like that.
Hoggle is there, and you can interact with him, and it's really cool.
I just got a puppet copy of the worm.
Oh, cool!
My sister's very jealous.
Where did you get it?
I found it on Etsy.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you a picture.
Okay, please do. And I still don't see Master's picture of his Dalek.
He's busy.
I posted it on the 20 megabyte page.
Every time he touches his computer.
No, you haven't.
Well, yeah, I have.
I just refresh. Oh, well, wait. Let me go with
refresh,
new
posts. Refresh. Yeah, definitely on there. Oh, bugger. I set it to the wrong page. That's probably why.
I knew it. So where'd you post it?
On the Isle of Wight page.
Oh, well, I can go look there. But you ought to post it on 20 megabytes.
No, I don't know what happened. I think it might be because I'm busy.
What have you been watching?
Anyway, that's all I'm going to say that I've watched, because that's all I can remember.
Labyrinth.
We ended up with just turning on the TV in the hotel room over the week, and end up watching a lot of Andy Griffith and Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, why not? Perfect.
Which was really bizarre, because I hadn't seen those for 30 years.
I like that.
Oh, right. There's the Dalek. I like it.
Right, I'm posting it on the 20 megabyte one now, because I'm still busy, but you made me realise it wasn't supposed to go there, but I'll leave it there anyway, because it's relevant. It's going to be a resident of the Isle of Wight. Are you done, Kirby? Sorry.
Yes, I was done.
Okay. Another one for you, Debbie. Another one on National Geographic Channel. Asian Bodies.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I like that.
Yeah, it's two series now. They're on series two.
I'll tell you what, having Disney Plus has been brilliant for the Nat Geo.
Oh, is it? Britain's biggest.
You get National Geographic on Disney Plus. It's brilliant.
Royal Kill List. That's another good one.
I haven't seen that.
That's on Sky History. What's the other one? That was when Charles I came back and sought out revenge against the killers of his dad. Really sort of gruesome, but it's an interesting true story. Strangest Things on Sky History. Really good series about things that are in museums, and they explain their origins and stuff. But quite interesting things, rather than some other programs that do. Mary, I'll pass over to you. Hundreds back, by the way. I'll pass over to you while I find the other really interesting stuff I've been watching.
Well, my watching, of course, is very boring to you all, because I watch a lot of sports. The baseball, the American baseball season is, you know, in full swing now. In fact, I've got a game on the TV right now, which
no
I watch.
No pun intended.
Is what?
No pun intended.
Yeah. That's true. The full swing. And basketball is winding down. So the last games of the season are being played today, in preparation for the playoff games that are going to happen. A lot of sports. But in terms of movies, I did watch one that is excellent and chilling, called Zone of Interest. It got an Academy Award for Best Foreign Film, and it takes place in a German commandant's home, the commandant of the Auschwitz
Oh, I've heard of this.
That's camp.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and the family on how they live a very normal life, but they're right on the other side of the wall of their little compound is the Auschwitz death camp. And while they're living their lives, you know, you can hear the screams coming, you can see the puffing of the train steam as it's arriving to drop off, you know, more victims. And it's chilling because the wife of the family, she gets this sack that one of the servants, who obviously is a camp person, but they dress them a little nicer.
When you say a camp person,
delivers
you
this
don't...
sack to her. Sorry. She rushes it up to her bedroom, and what she pulls out is a full length fur coat, beautiful coat. And she's looking at herself in the mirror wrapped in this beautiful fur coat, and she finds a lipstick in the pocket, and you know where the coat came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she has friends over for coffee, and what she does is she goes and she empties a sack of gorgeous silk underthings onto the table and tells them, oh, take your pick, you know, it won't matter, you know, I've got enough of my own. And I mean, so here the family is living off of the stuff that's coming, you know, that is being taken off the victims that are going into the camp. And, you know, so how they can live like that and live, you know, a sort of happy life. Because even the kids, two of the boys are playing some game with some little board pieces. And it turns out that what they're playing with are gold teeth.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my God. I mean, it's horrifying, and it's very well done. A series that I've gotten really caught up in, and it's on Hulu here, or is it on Max, HBO Max? I don't remember, but one of them. And it's called Fargo, and I don't know if you ever saw the movie Fargo.
I love the TV series of Fargo, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
it
is crazy, and it's all true stories of people. I mean, one bad decision leading to another, people getting killed, these turning into these horrific stories, and it's this Fargo series. I'm really caught up in it. And another one that is definitely on Hulu here is Shogun, which is being excellently done.
Oh, I love Shogun.
I read books.
That's just sensational.
Yeah, decades ago, I read the books after they came out, and I was absolutely addicted to them. So now this Shogun series.
Did you see the Richard Chamberlain series of Shogun?
No, I never did see that.
That's worth a watch. They definitely approach it differently to modern era, obviously. But yeah, it is. Definitely.
Yeah,
well,
I saw that one.
That was
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we've got it on DVD. I would actually send it to you if you want me to work in your region.
Well, you know, with all the streaming services we have, I probably have access to it somewhere.
If not, YouTube's got it.
Yeah, probably on YouTube. Yeah. But yeah, but this series that just came out, it is excellently done, and it's got me back reading the books again.
Oh yeah, same here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've been watching and doing.
No way, thank you, Mary. The other thing, Debbie, was a series called Royal Autopsy, which is on Sky History, which is when they recreate an autopsy for a kings and queens from times gone by.
I've seen a couple of those, but I don't have Sky.
They only did two for
series one.
I've
definitely seen a couple of
those. Yeah, they did two in series one. They've done four for this series. Henry V is one of them, but I'm pretty sure it was Henry V. I'd be wrong, but I think it was. Played by Gareth David Lloyd. So it might be worth watching just to see Gareth in full dramatic.
Just to see our
style.
Old mate.
Yeah. He's very, very dramatic.
The Richard Chamberlain Shogun is on Apple TV.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's one service I don't have.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Why isn't it?
If anybody's wondering why I don't do the full sponsorship mentions anymore, it's for the first year, I'm not stinging Who Won and Avazi for a sponsorship fee because they've been so good to us. So it means I'm not tied to doing specific sponsorship, although they are mentioned on the titles every time we open the show up. But occasionally we can have a good peek. of...
Well, are we still mentioned on...
Always will be, because it's a long, long time. MoveOn.co.uk have Lace... they got Phaser Aliens. Yeah. Phaser Aliens, River of Death, White Dragon. These are audio dramas. That's a book, actually, White Dragon, a big one. That's the 13th Doctor story. Church on Ruby Road, DVD. It's probably still bringing out DVDs, my goodness.
I do buy DVDs.
The Daleks in Colour.
I don't know when things are going to get shoved off of streaming service.
Oh, potentially. Right.
Yeah.
Daleks in Colour, which
is... I was searching for Labyrinth on a streaming service because I didn't want to go and fetch my DVD. And I had to fetch my DVD.
Yeah, well... they probably play on a PlayStation 4, but it's not even plugged in. Daleks in Colour, which is the thing that BBC 4 put out over Christmas. That's probably worth getting, actually, the Daleks in Colour story. And we also have what's coming soon, Fourth Doctor 13.1, Storm of the Sea Devils. I think probably a big finish story. Along with 11th Doctor Chronicles, Sixth Victory of the Doctor. Matt Smith's on the cover, so why are we to presume he's in it?
Is this a big finish?
Yeah.
Dr. Chronicles?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's not in it, but there's a young actor who does a
really good impression of him.
Mm. Dead on Matt Smith, so yeah. It's like he is, even though he isn't.
Okay. I know the guy, yeah.
Yeah. Fifth Doctor, Dream Team. Ninth Doctor, Adventures of Buried Threats. I presume that is the Ninth Doctor, a la Chris Eccleston. No? Is Chris Eccleston doing the Doctor and Big Finish?
Yeah, Eccleston
is.
He's done several series of stories so far, yeah.
Okay. Rani takes on World 2, Revenge of Wormwood. I presume that's Rani from Sarah Jane Adventures. Sabotage, Torchwood Story.
Sabotage!
Sixth Doctor, Quinn Dilemma. Not Twin Dilemma, Quinn Dilemma. Interesting cover, that.
Interesting.
Oh, because there's four versions of the Sixth Doctor in it. Four sixes.
So,
by Jacqueline
Rayner. That's intriguing.
Yeah, it does. I presume that's four stories. But yeah, that's... does look quite cool. Lots of good stuff still coming out, being churned out by Big Finish. So there you go. Next time, I'm just going to check my diary for the benefit of Kirby, because I do believe that was the longest hiatus we've ever had on the show, and I do apologize again. Next week is the 21st of April, the birthday of Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, but obviously it doesn't matter now because she's not with us anymore. So potentially that could happen. The week after that, I'm at the Lego Festival. The week after that, it's clear. The week after that, it's clear. Oh, no, it's not my birthday.
Wait a second. So no. On the 28th, it's no?
Probably not. I'm at the Lego Festival. So I could be back in time.
It's my daughter's birthday as well, so I won't be on either.
5th of May looks all right. 12th of May is my birthday. It's also
slow down.
What? Not
I'm
difficult
to
keep up with.
You're going too fast. Can he handle it?
Right. While you're watching that, I'm going to put the mask back on.
We're overloading here.
Yeah.
I've been trying to watch the Masters.
Give me all she's got, Captain.
I've got a flutter on the Masters.
I can't be on the 12th. Also, guess what?
What?
You don't get me next week.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so, well, the 12th is the show's birthday. Well, the 13th is, but the 12th is the one that's closest to our, what would be, 14th birthday. Okay, with an underwhelming response there. But we won't be doing a show, so.
So we are. You're going too far.
No, I'm not.
We've done enough in advance here.
Actually, no. I reckon we should do a show on my birthday. One, because it's our birthday, and two, because Doctor Who was on the previous day.
Yeah, how are we going to handle those?
Well, we're going to do what we normally do, just talk about it without doing a synopsis.
Okay. Now, next week we're doing Last Christmas, correct?
Yeah.
Do
we have to do this on the show? Right, next time, Last Christmas. The 28th is probably out because I'll be recovering from the Lego Festival. The 5th is okay. The 12th is okay.
Do you want to know why I won't be on the 21st?
Not particularly.
Yes, silent movie.
Okay, whatever. Right, I'm just giving you a heads up.
Bill, Steamboat Bill Jr. with Buster Keaton.
Right. Oh, now, brilliant. Kirby, what I suggest you do, while I run through these dates, listen to the show and then you'll be able to hear them, won't they? So, the 12th looks okay. 19th looks okay. 26th out because we're in Manchester at the Coronation Street Tour. Yes, I'm not a fan of the show, but I do find its iconic scenes interesting and stuff. That's for Deb. She's been wanting to do the Coronation Street Tour for quite a while. Quite wanted to do it myself, to be fair, because it's the actual set. And the following week after that, we can't do it because it's the... Oh, actually, maybe I'm not going. Take that at St Mary's Stadium. Deb and the kids are going. I'm not sure if I'm going or not yet, so I'll keep that one open. Other than that, we're pretty much open, apart from the Isle of Wight Festival that is on the 23rd of June. And I've got a film show on the 30th. Do you want to stop there? Theatre Train show on the 14th?
Yeah, I stopped listening.
Good. Like the listeners. How ironic is that? Oh, go on.
We'll be on the video. That's all we need to know right now.
I don't know if my...
Let's not do this.
Next week is what we need to know, and also I won't be on the 12th, which is the day after we get some new Doctor Who.
That's what... Oh, well, you won't be able to talk to that. We have to talk about the following week then, won't you? Right then, so I think...
Well, I don't know if I'll even be able to watch the new Doctor Who that weekend. Right.
And I think the 12th is also Mother's Day here.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, it is, yes.
Oh, this video signal's gone. I think
so
my
we
phone...
may all be busy that day.
Yeah. Second Mother's Day, we have to remember
I think my phone's died. I think the battery's gone on my phone. That's why it's just... Yeah, battery's gone on my phone. So the signal's gone. Where's my charging stuff gone? So we're going to have to stop anyway because we're no longer broadcasting live.
Aww.
So until next time, thank you for listening and watching and taking part in the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye-bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are proud members of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. The music on this podcast is covered by limited online music license from PRS for Music.